This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Thursday. The Glenwood Springs Council is taking a closer look at the city's contract with a camera surveillance company called Flock Safety. That's after hearing from local residents who are concerned the cameras could infringe on data privacy and other civil liberties. Eleanor Bennett has more ahead of the council's work session today.
The Glenwood Police Department first started working with Flock to install cameras in 2022. The cameras track license plate numbers and cars as they drive through the city. John Hassel is Glenwood's deputy police chief. He's been with the department since the 90s, and he says the cameras have made it much easier to find stolen cars and solve more serious crimes.
We've had murder suspects captured. We've had Amber Alerts recovered. We've taken people into custody from a fatal accident that happened at 27th Street Roundabout.
The Glenwood Police have opted to only share the city's Flock data with other Colorado law enforcement agencies, but some of those agencies have shared people's private data with federal immigration agents. The cameras have also been used to monitor protesters across the country and track a Texas woman suspected of having an abortion. This concerns Glenwood resident John Houghton. He sent a letter to the city council last month asking that they stop using the cameras.
Frankly, I trust that the Glenwood Springs Police Department is using this tool judiciously, but when you share that data with people outside of the department, you lose control of it.
If the city keeps working with Flock, Houghton hopes they'll at least make changes to their contract, things like shortening how long they keep the data and further limiting who it can be shared with. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
The Garfield County Sheriff and the Silt Police also use Flock cameras, but they say they haven't had any recent complaints from local residents. Aspen City Council agreed not to build an early childhood education center at Burlingame Ranch, at least not for now. A proposed 94-student child care center was in the works for several years. Councilors approved the land use entitlements for the project in 2024. But Megan Monahan, a co-director of Kids First in Aspen, says there isn't a need anymore for a brand new center. That's according to a child care needs assessment Kids First conducted last year.
The community child care needs assessment indicated that it could be detrimental to existing child care providers if we built this facility now.
The Burlingame Center would help meet needs for infant and toddler care, but it would add too many preschool spots. There's less of a need for preschool care in Pickens County. That's according to the needs assessment. Instead, the city will focus on bolstering existing child care centers by increasing wages and employee housing to help increase enrollment capacity. Some Roaring Fork Valley communities are embracing a new way to assess fire risk. As Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports, the advanced model is able to predict how wildfire would move through neighborhoods with impressive accuracy.
The model is the first of its kind to predict how a fire will progress through an urban area, and it's been tested against past fires with close to 90% accuracy. Angie Davlin directs the organization that's been working with Roaring Fork communities to collect data for the model. She hopes the findings will highlight areas for fuel breaks or prescribed burns, but says much of the risk in the valley may come from private homeowners.
I'm not interested in shaming people. I'm not even interested in fear-mongering. But there is a reality here where we're in an incredibly high-risk area, and resiliency is in the hands of the people who live here.
Davlin's nonprofit has finished collecting neighborhood data from Marble, Snowmass, and parts of Glenwood, and is waiting on results of the analysis. Carbondale and Aspen are starting the data collection process in the coming weeks. For Aspen Public Radio News, I'm Michael Finelli.
The Trump administration froze billions of dollars for Colorado and four other Democratic-led states last month. A temporary restraining order has kept the freeze from taking effect, but that ends on Friday. Sarah Torrey reports this could mean big financial hardships for families in our region.
Aspen Youth Center provides free after-school care for hundreds of children in the Roaring Fork Valley. Many of their parents work in low-wage and service jobs. About 15% qualify for Colorado's Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TAMF, program. Brian Zubek is the executive director of the Aspen Youth Center.
This is for like working families who just don't have enough to make ends meet.
Colorado's TAMF program could lose $150 million federal dollars if the funding freeze goes into effect. Many childcare facilities, including the Aspen Youth Center, also receive funding directly through TAMF. The Trump administration said it was reviewing how the state uses the dollars in an effort to, quote, root out fraud. But Zubek says the center already provides extensive documentation to Pitkin County on how the money is spent. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Sarah Torrey.
In statewide news, a proposal that would aim to shield Colorado nonprofits from politically motivated attacks by the Trump administration passed its first Senate committee hearing on Tuesday with unanimous bipartisan support. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
The Trump administration has openly talked about revoking the tax-exempt status of nonprofits it doesn't agree with. This bill would try to shield local organizations from political retaliation by decoupling Colorado's tax code from the federal government's. That means even if a Colorado nonprofit's federal tax-exempt status is revoked, they would still be exempt from state sales tax. Democratic Senator William Lindstedt of Broomfield sponsored the bill and says it's a common-sense, preemptive measure.
We've seen the federal government weaponize discretionary grants, hold us up in the courts for hundreds of millions of dollars, and I think any tool they can use to do that, that we can address, we should.
It's not clear that the tax status of any Colorado nonprofit has been targeted yet, but Democratic lawmakers say organizations working in the environment, immigration, and diversity, equity, and inclusion spaces are particularly at risk.
That was Ray Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. And in regional news, State Parks and Wildlife is calling in reinforcements to stop the spread of invasive zebra mussels in the Colorado River. As KUNC's Scott Franz reports, the containment plan includes new tech and ramped-up testing.
Colorado's invasive species expert said at a briefing last week the state has an incredible fight ahead. Zebra mussels have infested at least 135 miles of the Colorado River. Wildlife officials want to test more than 1,000 private ponds and bodies of water connected to the river for mussel larvae. The goal is to catch and kill any before they grow big enough to clog water pipes. The agency has also ordered a dip tank to decontaminate boats at an infested reservoir near Grand Junction. And there's more staffing at the state's border checkpoints to help intercept contaminated boats. Scott Franz, KUNC.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.